Good morning. Today's daf is Baba Basra daf Kuf Sama Gimel. We left off yesterday almost at the bottom of Kuf Samach Beis. What we had been discussing was the placement of the Edim, the placement of the signature of the Edim on a shtar. And what we saw yesterday was that it's a problem if the Edim are two spaces or two lines away from the end of the Ksav. However, it's not a problem if the Edim are only one line away from the end of the Ksav. And we said, why is it not a problem if it's one line away from the end of the Ksav? Because Ein Lemeidim Eshita Achrona, because we're not going to learn anything from the last line of Ksav anyway. And so if the Edim are one line of space away from the Ksav, even if somebody wants to come and be Mezayif the Shtar and add in a different line, add in an additional line, we're not going to learn from that last line anyway, so it's fine. However, if the Edim are two lines away from the Ksav, then the concern is that somebody is going to add in two lines of writing. Saying Lameidim Mishita Achrona, okay, but from the first of the forged lines, we might be able to learn something, and therefore there's a problem of Ziyuf. Today we are going to begin the shiur with a discussion of exactly how much space are we referring to when we talk about two lines. Are we talking about two lines and the airspace above and below the lines and between the lines? Whose handwriting are we talking about? Et cetera. And then the Gemara is going to turn to a discussion. What happens if you have signatures or if you have shtaros that are written on erased portions of the cloth, and whether we have to be concerned with space in between not only the text and the place where the Edim sign, but also the place where the Edim sign and then what's called the Asharta, which is the henpik, which is what we referred to last week in the Shiurim. It's a certification of Basin. Do we need to be afraid that somebody's going to try to insert a forged document in between the place of the Edim and the henpik? So we're going to see again about the placement of a lot of the technical portions of the shtaros and the reasons for concern and what you could do to safeguard against forged documents. So we left off at the very last line of Kuf Samach Beis Amud Beis, second word on the line, Yiboyelu. So again, as we saw yesterday, the Edim are not allowed to place their signature two lines of space away from the last line of text. Of course, we also saw yesterday the Shita of the Rashbam, who said that this is only where the Shtar does not say Sharer V'Kayim, but where the Shtar does say Sharer V'Kayim, then all bets are off, in which case you're allowed to put the signatures wherever you want. But assuming we're dealing with a Shtar, like the Rashbam said, where it's not written Sharer V'Kayim, it has two lines of space, passels. So says the Gemara, Yiboylu, Shtei Shitin Shamru, the two lines that we reference, Hain va'aviran, odilma hain v'lo aviran. Does it mean the two lines and the airspace, or does it mean two lines without the airspace? So if you look in the Rashbam, what exactly does this mean? So top Rashbam on the page, shir ksivas hashitin va'avir chalak bentayim, the shir for writing two lines of text and the empty space in between them, nifsal, aval pachas mikan ein nifsal. However, if there is less than the amount of space into which you can insert two lines of text and airspace in between them, then maybe that is not going to pasul. So says the Gemara, well, Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Mistabra Dehein Va'aviran, but it's Mistaber that it has to be two lines of text with the airspace in between the lines. Now, what's the raya? Disal kadaita chen v'lo aviran, because if you want to say that the amount of space that puzzles is only space sufficient for two lines of text without giving effect to the airspace in between the lines, so shita achas b'lo avira l'maychazia. Yesterday, if you recall, we were having a discussion, the distinction between Edim leaving two lines of space versus Edim leaving one line of space. Now, mistama, the one line of space will be calculated in the same manner as the two lines of space. And if the two lines of space is hein below aviran, it's only the lines of text without the airspace, then mistama, the one line of space is also one line of text without any airspace. But if you have one line of text without any airspace, so what good is that? L'mai chazia, what good is that? And the Rashbam says, why do I say what good is that? Because v'halo nikar haziyuf, Because when a normal person writes, obviously you need to leave some space in between the two lines of text, otherwise the writing is going to be illegible. And therefore, if you don't have the shear of one line with space, when you write the forged line, you're going to have to shrink your handwriting so that you can create the additional space. Now, if you're doing that, then the Ziyaf is going to be nicker, says the Rashbam, because you have a whole shtar that's written in a certain font, and then you have another shtar, then you have a one line that's written in little teeny tiny handwriting. So it's obvious that the teeny tiny handwriting portion is the part that's forged. So, and the Rashbam continues, and says the Rashbam also, let's say you have two lines, you have room for two lines, but without the airspace, so you're not going to be able to write two lines of text because you're going to have to shrink the text, you're going to have to shrink the font. But maybe what you could do, says the Rashbam, is you could write one line of larger font. But again, it's going to be nicker because the font of the forged part of the shtar is going to be different than the font of the rest of the shtar. So it's obvious if you can't have a case where there's one line of space without airspace, then when we talk about two lines of space, we're talking about a type of measurement that's consistent with the one-liner. And just like the one-liner is with the airspace, so too the two-liner is also with the airspace. Ela shmamina, hein vaviron shmamina. So it's obvious that we're talking about hein vaviron, the two lines of space that we said the shtar is possible if the Edom sign two lines away from, if the Edom sign two lines away from the Ksav, that's two lines with the airspace. So Rabbi Shabtai Amar Mishmei Dechizkia. So Rabbi Shabtai says in the name of Chizkia, Shnei Shitin Sha'amru, the two lines that we're referring to. So Bechsav Yedei Edim Velo Ksav Yedei Sofer. It's got to be space that's sufficient to allow for two lines of handwriting in the handwriting of the Edim and not in the professional handwriting of the Sofer. My timer, what's the reason for this? The Kola Mazayif, Lav Lagabe Safra Ozol Mazayif, because if a guy's going to forge a shtar, the guy's not going to go to a sofer in order to get the sofer to forge the shtar for him and then write in his very neat and professional handwriting. The guy is going to forge the shtar himself. And therefore, when we measure the amount of space that we're afraid that the guy is going to forge the shtar, it's only if it could accommodate two lines in a regular person's handwriting, not necessarily in a sofer's handwriting. And the Rashbam explains over here, my time a kol demazayif lav lagabe sofer azol ulai lo yovelo velo yishmo I love. Maybe the sofer is not going to listen and is not going to agree to help facilitate the forgery. Lo ruyinafshe, then because the sofer doesn't want to damage his reputation by agreeing to forge the document. So maybe the sofer is going to resist. Ella osibitzina betoch beso. Rather, the forgerer, the guy who's going to forge the document, is going to do it in private in his house. Vene yodea lechaven yidei ksiva daka kidei sofer, kamo sofer. And he is unable to be mitzamtzem his ksiva to calibrate his font and his handwriting the same way that a sofer is. And therefore, a regular person needs more space to write two lines of text than a sofer does. Okay, now Vakama, and what about these two lines? So how much space do you need? So over here we have three shitas. So the first shita is Amar Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar kagon lech lecha ze al gabe ze. That in order to write lech lecha, one word on top of the other. So what does this mean? So the Rashbam again explains, lo also leflugei ad Chizkia. This isn't coming to argue on Chizkia. Chizkia said you need two lines, hein vaviron. The question is, what does that mean? Two lines, enough for the text and the airspace. Elevada b'ksavi de edim esharon ksiva shtei ashitin chalak. That you definitely are measuring it in the handwriting of the edim and not in the handwriting of the sofer. Vadayin sarech avir ben shita l'shita mavad ove aksiva. But even though you're leaving more space for the text because we're leaving space for the handwriting of an aid as opposed to the handwriting of a sofer, still you need airspace in between each line of text. Kadesha im yu shnei lecha. Like lech lecha b'shnei ashitin ze be'elyona v'ze b'tachtona, tzorech shel yiga meshach gova alamid shel lech lecha hatachton lagia b'chof shel lecha elyon da zimnin dimin hadadi b'hadeya dadi chof deshita elyona v'lamid deshita hatachtona.
So the Rashbam explains that when we say that you have to leave two lines of text, space for two lines of text, you have to leave enough space so that if it would be that the word lecha is written on both lines of the shtar at exactly the same place, so at the bottom of the Chaf Sofis, so the bottom of Chaf Sofis descends beyond, below where the rest of the words in that line descend, and the top of the Lamed in the Lecha on the bottom line extends above where the rest of the words on that line extend, but you need to leave enough space that if you have the Lecha written one on top of the other, you have enough space for the bottom of the Chaf and the top of the Lamed. So that's basically, so that's a lot of space. So Almak Savar, Shnei Shitin, back of the Gemara. So obviously we see that Rav Yitzchak ben Elazar holds Shnei Shitin V'arba Avirin. It's two lines, it's enough space for two lines and four air spaces. Airspace on top of the top line for the top of the Lamed. Airspace on the bottom of the top line for the bottom of the Chaf Sofis. Airspace on top of the bottom line for the top of the Lamed in the bottom line. And airspace on the bottom of the bottom line for the Chaf that's in the bottom, that's in the bottom line. So Rav Chiya Bar Ami Mishmei De'ula Amar. Rav Chiya Bar Ami says in the name of Ula, Kigon Lamed Milmala, V'chaf milmata. No, you only need enough airspace for a lamed on top of the top line, a chaf on the bottom of the bottom line. Alma kasavar shnei shitim v'shlosh aviran. So he holds that you need enough space for two lines and three air spaces. Why not four air spaces? So says the Rashbam, three lines up from where they get a little bit wide in the Rashbam, v'shlosh avirin, debein shnei ashitin dai lanu ba'avir echad. It's enough to have one air space in between the two lines. Sheyachol ha'amein es yada laharchik rosh ha'lamed tachtona mechaneged regal chaf elyona. Because how likely is it that the two words lecha are going to appear directly on top of each other in the two lines that are forged? And even if they do, says the Rashbam, you could make it so that you could tilt the top of the lamed so that it's leaning a little bit away from the bottom of the chaf, so you're never going to have it where you need two air spaces in between the two lines for the bottom of the chaf and the top of the lamed. You'll just work it out. Either you'll work it out so that the words won't appear one on top of the other, or you'll work it out so that even if they do appear one on top of the other, you'll make sure to tilt the bottom of the chaf or the top of the lamed so that you won't have to utilize two air spaces in between the two lines. So that's the second shita. And then Rabbi Yavo Amar Kagon Baruch Ben Levi Beshita Achas. No, we're not talking about two lines at all. We're talking about only one line. But it's got to be enough space so that the guy can sign Baruch Ben Levi. So over here, obviously, we have a couple of letters that extend below the bottom of the line, and we have one letter that extends above the bottom of the line. So kasavar shita achas v'shnei avirin. So we see that this shita holds that you need enough text for one line of space and two air spaces below and above, or above and below. So that's above and below. So how do we paskin? So the Rambam paskins that the Rambam says that the amount of space that you must that needs to be left here in order to puzzle the shtar is hein va'aviron. It's two lines plus their spaces, but he doesn't specify whether he holds like the first shita, like we said, two lines and four spaces, or whether he holds like the second shita, which is two lines and three spaces. So the Magen Mishnah explains that what the Rambam means is that you need two lines and only three spaces. That why is he medayik that you need two lines and only three spaces? From the fact that the Rambam doesn't say, oh, in case you have lech lecha written one right on top of the other. Because if he said that the reason that the concern is that you might have lech lecha written one on top of the other, then that would be a raya that the Rambam says you need two lines and four spaces. But from the fact he only says two lines and they're avir, mistama, says the Magen Mishnah, he means that you need two lines and only three air spaces. Why? Because it's mistaber, like the second shita that we saw. How frequent is it that the words lech lecha or lecha lecha appear one on top of the other? And even if they did, you could tilt the top
of the lamed to make sure that you're not bumping into the bottom of the chaf sofis. And that's why he says the Rambam, that you need two lines and three air spaces. That you need two lines and three air spaces. Okay, good. So says the Gemara Vayter. So Amar Rav, Lo Shanu Elabain Edim Luxav. This whole shear of two lines with the airspace and the machlokas and how many airspaces there are is only between the ksav and the edim. Avobain edim la asharta. However, between the edim and the asharta, again, the asharta is the henpik, which is the certification through which basin would be Mekayim the shtar, and the henpik would be affixed below the signature of the edim. And the henpik is basically certification that it was proven to Basin's satisfaction that the signature of the Edim is bona fide, that the signature of the Edim is legitimate. How would Basin be Mekayim the Edim in order to put the henpik on the shtar? So either those Edim would come and testify, this is our ksav yad, or other Edim would come and testify that this is the ksav yad of those Edim who signed on the shtar. And if you had either of those forms of proof, then Basin would accept the proof. Basin would write a henpik, would write the asharta on the bottom of the shtar, would place its seal. And once Basin placed its seal on the bottom of the shtar, you would no longer have to ever be mekayim the shtar, because the shtar would always be mekuyim through the henpik. So says the Gemara, though, that the amount of space that we're talking about that passes the shtar is only between the text and the edim. However, between the edim and the henpik and the asharta, afilu tuva nami kosher. Even if there's more blank space, more than two lines, it's still going to be kosher. So that's very perplexing, says the Gemara. Maishna ben edim l'chsav, what's the reason that two lines passels between the edim and the ksav? Dilma mezayif akasav my deboi v'chsim esadi bein edim v'chsim esadi. Maybe you're going to be mezayif. You're going to add in a forgery whatever you want, and then the edim, the signature of the edim is already going to be there. And it turns out that you're going to add forged text in between the ksav and the edim. But bein edim la sharta nami. But between the edim and that sharta as well, we should be concerned for the same thing. Mezayif akasav my deboi v'chsim esadi. Because you can be mezayif, you can forge and add whatever corrupted text you want, and you're going to have the signature of the edim. So how are you going to have the signature of the edim? The Rabbeinu Gershom is perplexed, because what you're having here is you have ksav, and then the edim, and then blank space where we're afraid you're going to forge, and then the asharta. So why would anybody think that this is a valid place to write in the shtar if it's beneath the text of the edim? So Rabbeinu Gershom says, enechanami, that the edim are signing even what is beneath their signature, and because the edim are signing even what's beneath their signature. Why would the edim sign? Why would the edim attest to what's beneath their signature? The edim l'chorah should only be attesting to what's above their signature. So the Rabbeinu Gershom explains that the reason that the edim are attesting to what's beneath their signature is because over here we have the asharta. Because over here the edim know that we not only do we have their signature, but we also have the certification. Then they're also going to sign on what's beneath their signature. That's one explanation. The other explanation is, we're not worried that those original edim are going to sign what's beneath their signature, because it's normal that when you're signing a shtar, you're only attesting to what's above your signature, not what some guy might write below it. But we're afraid that we're talking about an unscrupulous person who's going to forge documents, that when the guy is going to add in the forged text, he's also going to forge signatures of other edim. So if you leave too much space between the signature of the legit edim and the henpik, we're afraid that the guy's going to write a whole other shtar with forged edim. Then you're going to have the asharta on and people are going to assume that the asharta is going on the forged edim, but really those bottom edim aren't legitimate. Really those bottom edim are forged. That's the problem. So says the Gemara, why are we not afraid with the blank space between the signature of the edim and the asharta? Demetayitle, because we are going to ink up, we're going to blot it with ink, and therefore it's going to be forge proof. Says the Gemara, well, that's a great idea. So why are we afraid of blank space between the ksav and the edim? Just ink it up, just fill it with ink, fill the blank space with ink, and then it's going to be impossible to forge it. So why don't we do that? So Amri, so says the Gemara, no, because if we have a shtar, which is ksav, 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 and then the ksav ends, and then you have just ink, and then the signature of the edim, if we did that, people would assume that the edim are signing only on the part that's inked over, that they're not signing on the rest of the shtar. The edim are only attesting to the part that's inked. Says the Gemara, well, the Gemara is going to say that's pretty nuts, but we'll see why the edim might think that they're doing that. But says the Gemara, Sabin edim lasharta nami amri beidinat yutu dechsimi. Okay, well then, if you're going to say that we're going to remedy the blank space between the chsima sa edim and the asharta by blotting it with ink, maybe when Basin is adding the certification to the bottom of the shtar, they're not certifying the signatures of the edim, they're certifying the fact that the place above the asharta was inked over. Says the Gemara, Beidinat Yuta Lachsimi. No, the basin is not going to be, the basin is not going to affix its seal and affix its certification on a part of a shtar that's blotted out with ink, because there's no purpose in doing so. But the Rashbam says, Ein darkan lachtam, aval edim hakol mitsuyim lachtam. Anybody could be an aid, vafilu ameya aretz, va'asi lemichta matiyuta. Because by an aid, any moron can be an aid, as long as he's not pasul aidus. So if you have a moron who thinks that he's signing his name to an inked over place of the shtar, that's going to be a problem. But if we're talking about Basin have to be people who are learned people. We're not afraid that they're going to think that when they're putting the asharta on the shtar, they're certifying only as to the inked over space. They're obviously certifying as to the signature of the edim above the inked over space. And therefore, even if there's more than two lines of space between the edim and the asharta, it's going to be fine. We're not afraid of forgery because we're going to ink it over. Okay, says the Gemara, maybe we're going to, we see the lengths that people will go to forge documents. This is pretty crazy. So, person's going to cut off the entire top portion of the shtar with the ksiva and the edim, everything until the inked over space above the asharta. And then, he's going to erase the inked over space, the kos of my debay, you mechtam sadi. And he's going to write whatever he wants, and he's going to forge signatures as well, and he'll be emboldened to forge signatures because there's already a henpik, there's already an asharta on the bottom of the shtar, and so he's not afraid he's ever going to have to prove up the signatures in Basin, because everybody's going to assume that Basin already certified as to the authenticity of these signatures, and he's going to forge a shtar that way. V'yama Rav, shtar haba hu ve'edav ala mecha kosher. And Rav had said that if a shtar and the edim are both written on mechek, on parchment that has already been erased, then it's going to be kosher. So says the Gemara, Hani chal Rav Kahana, this is good according to Rav Kahana, Damasin Lamishmei de Shmuel, who said that we bring down this idea of blotting with ink the space above the Asharta in the name of Shmuel, then there's no stira, because it's Rav who said that Shtar Habal hu ve'edav ala mechek is kosher. So there's no stira in the Shita of Rav. El Rav Tevyumi, Damasin Lamishmei de Rav, but according to Rav Tevyumi, who said that the idea, that the suggestion that we would fill the space between the Chsima Sa'edim and the Asharta with ink is the Shita of Rav. How could that be? Because Rav is the one who says that Shtar Rabba hu ve'edav ala mechek is kosher. And according to Rav, shouldn't we be afraid that the guy is going to chop off the entire top portion of the shtar, and the guy is then going to have, he's going to erase the ink, and he's going to write a forged shtar and forged edim on the inked portion, and that's going to be a problem. My ikal amemar. That is going to be a problem. So says the Gemara, Ksavar kolki gavna in mekaymen osa min asharta shabo elamina edim shabo. Ah, so in other words, Basin was smarter. So in other words, if you have a shtar where you have an asharta and the asharta is written on regular cloth, and then above that you have a shtar, a text of a shtar and edim that are written on cloth that is obvious that it's been erased, In that case, we are not going to certify the Edim, the authenticity of the signatures of the Edim, just based on the Asharta, because we're concerned maybe the Asharta predated, the Asharta was there before the guy put the Ksav and the Edim. As the Rashbam says, it's Ksavar Rav Kolki Agavna Klomar Kol Shtar Sheesh Bahenpik Vu Vedav Alamechek. Anytime you have a star with a henpik and the text of the star and the Edim are written on a raised portion of the cloth, Lo Samchina Na Asharta. We're not going to rely on the Asharta. We will only certify the shtar, we will only authenticate the shtar if we have Edim who come and testify on the Ksav Yad of the Edim who signed the shtar. Why? And we're not afraid that it's going to be Huveda Valamechek, the name of Kiagavna Ain Mekayimin, because we're not going to be Mekayim that type of shtar through the Asharta, Ubeisin Atyuta Lochsimi, and Beisin, we're not afraid that Beisin is thinking that they're only certifying the inked in portion of the shtar. Elo Ikura Shtar, Hilka Koshura Shtar Vasharta. That's why the Rashbam explains. It is okay to have a lot of space between the signature of the Edim and the Asharta. We can alleviate the concern for forgery by blotting that space with ink. We're not concerned that Beis Din is going to think that they're only certifying the ink, because Beis Din are not morons, and therefore they know that they're certifying the signature of the Edim. And we're not afraid of Ziyuf, because if a guy would be so brazen as to cut off the top of the shtar and be mochek the tiyuta, and write a shtar and sign false edim on the shtar, those false edim would not be authenticated through the certification. They would only be authenticated through bringing additional edim. Okay, good. So says the Gemara now a different shita. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan, and then five lines from the top. So Rav Yochanan Amar, lo shano ela bein edim l'ksav, Aval bein edim la sharta afilu shita achas pasol. Rav Yochanan has the exact opposite shita. Until now, we've been saying that between the edim and the sharta, even if there's a lot of space, it's okay. Rav Yochanan now swings totally the opposite way. He says, when do we say that between the ksav and the edim, you're allowed to have, or when do we say that you're allowed to have up to two lines of blank space? That's only between the ksav and the edim. However, between the edim and the asharta, even if you have only one line of space, that is going to be puzzle. And says the Rashbam, the afal gav de metayit, even if you put this tiyuta, even if you put the ink during in this one line of space, umafarish taimed Rav Yochanan ksavar shtar shekosov kulo b'shita achas v'gama edim chsumim b'osa shita kosher, because Rav Yochanan holds that if you have a shtar where the text of the shtar and the edim are written on the same line, so it's a very short shtar, that's going to be kosher. V'yochol lachtoch hasa elyon, and again over here you're able to chop off the entire top portion of the shtar. The yichtav shtar ve'edim psulim bosa shita, and you can write a forged document and forge signatures in that one line of space. Ve'ena nismach asharta l'kayim, and we're not going to be somech on the asharta to be mekayim the shtar. Ve'mashtar kulo b'shita achas ve'edim b'shita acheres puzzle. Avanu nismach asharta l'kayim. I'm sorry, and you're going to be somech on the asharta in order to be mekayim the forged signature. However, says the Rashbam, explaining Rav Yochanan shita, ve'mashtar kulo b'shita achas ve'edim b'shita acheres puzzle. However, if the entire shtar is written on one line and the edim are on the next line, that's going to be puzzle. Says the Rashbam, why in the world is this the case? Why, if the edim are on the same line, it's going to be kosher, but if the edim are on the next line, it's going to be puzzle? V'nira be'enai taimo shel davar, Huve Eda Beshita Achas Kosher. The reason that Huve Eda Beshita Achas is kosher, the lo plug Rabbanan bein shtar gadol shtar katan, because the Rabbanan didn't distinguish between a shtar gadol and a shtar katan. She a katan posel yoser min a gadol. Aval im kulo Beshita Achas ve Eda Beshita Acheres posel v'hainu taima darmina leel hirchek shita achas cholak bein shtar leedim kosher v'taima kedemaskinan ein lemeidim beshita achrona v'mata omer kosher. Hecha dashtar b'shita achas ve'eda b'shita acheres ikla mechash degayez leili iloi v'kosav v'hi shita cholok my deboy v'chosmi sahadi. So says the Rashbam. We always have to be afraid of a forgery here, and if you have the Edim, and also what we say is Ein Lamedim Meshita Achrona, that you're not going to learn from the last line of text without the Edim. So we're afraid that if the Edim are signing on one line, you're going to erase what's written on the line above the Edim, and you're going to write something into the line that the Edim signed on, and through that you're going to be able to forge. Through that you're going to be able to forge the shtar. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter. So we saw the Shita of Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that even if there's only one line between the Edom and the Asharta, it's going to be possible. So says the Gemara, Maishna bein Edom laAsharta, duma gais leila, v'kasav hu ve'eda b'shita achas, because maybe he's going to cut off the entire top of the shtar. He's going to write the shtar and forge the signatures in the same line. V'kasav ar shtar haba hu ve'eda b'shita achas kosher. And we hold that, and he holds that a shtar where the text of the shtar and the edim are written on one line, it is kosher. So says the Gemara, ihachi ben edim l'ksav nami. Then between the edim and the ksav also, shouldn't we be afraid of the same thing? Dilma Gai is Leili Loi. Maybe he's going to chop off the top of the shtar, the kosa of my deboy, and he's going to write whatever he needs to write on the shtar, the chzimi sadi, and then the witnesses are going to sign. So says the Gemara, ksavar. No, we're not afraid of that. Why? Because ksavar shtar haba hu b'shita achas ve'eda b'shita acheres pasul. So because we're not afraid that you're going to forge above the place of the signatures, because if the signature of the Edom is already there, the only place to forge is the line above. And what we had already said was that if you have a two-line shtar, one line of text and one line of signatures, that's invalid, that's pasul. It's only kosher if you have a shtar where the line of text and the signatures are all on the same line. So says the Gemara, but why am I not still afraid of that? Maybe what he'll do is he'll forge the top line, he'll add in a line of text, and he'll forge signatures. And then when he comes to Basin to try to be Mekayim the Shtar, they'll say, why in the world do you have signatures on the last line of text and also beneath the last line of text? And he'll say that the reason that I added so many edim is only to be marbe edim. And so maybe he'll try to taina that this is not a shtar where the text is on one line and the edim are going to be on the next line, in which case it's going to be puzzle, because he could forge both the text and the edim, and it's going to be a shtar where both the text and the edim are on one line. We have the other edim as well. Okay, that's only to be marba edim, but it's not going to puzzle the shtar. So says the Gemara, kol ki ay gavna ein mekaymenosa min edim shalamata ela me'edim shalamala. So the reason that we're not afraid is for the following, because any situation like that, we are not going to be mekayim with the Edim who are legitimate, who signed on the legitimate part of the shtar. Rather, we're only going to be mekayim with the Edim who signed above. Now, the Edim who signed above are never going to be verified because that was a forged signature. So he's never going to be able to be mezayif the shtar like this and pull this shtick, because he's never going to be able to use the legitimate, the bona fide signatures of those legit Edim in order to verify this shtar, because Basin's only going to accept the verification of the top line signatures. The top line signatures will never be verified because they're false signatures. As the Rashbam explains, Umashani, Kolki Aigavna, Klomer, Kashiyotsu Lufaninu, Shtarabo, Huveida Bashita Achas, Vieshpa Ode, Tachas, Osa Shita, Edem Acherim, Ein Makaimenoso, Elamen Edem Achsumenimo, Ein Makaimenoso, Ela, Mena Edem Achsumenimo, Bashita Achas. We're only Makaim the Star with the signature of the Edem who are signed on that very line. Tosfos over here explains this long Tosfos, Dibre Maschol Shita, he just explains, because we held in the Gemara that a shtar where the text of the shtar and the signature of the Edom is in one line, if you're ever asked to be an aide, so where in the line should you sign? So Tosfos says that you should obviously sign in the beginning of the line, because if you sign in the middle or the end of the line, we're afraid somebody's going to come after the fact, make writing, he's going to write something in before the signature, and then it's going to be a problem, because Shtar Abba, Hu Ve'edav Al Shita Achas, is going to be kosher. So the Tashbetz explains, interesting, to try to be Melamed Schus on the custom that we observe today. Apparently was observed in his time as well, that when we have a ksuba, which is effectively a fancy shtar with edim, they try to make it nicely calligraphied, and they try to make everything centered and spaced properly. So it would be sometimes that they would try to center the signature of the edim underneath the ksuba. So the custom developed in the time of the Tashbetz that people would make pictures on a ksuba, that they would literally decorate the ksuba right around the makam chesimas edim. So some people were upset that they were drawing pictures on what's effectively just a regular shtar. But the Tashbetz said, no, there's reason for this, because of what Tosva says over here. Because it could be that if the edim sign in the center of the shtar, an unscrupulous person could go write some other promises, whatever the husband promises to give to the wife, before the signature of the edim, and that's going to be verified with the signature of the edim. So in order to avoid inadvertently signing on something that was not supposed to be in the ksuba, we have the edim sign in the center, so it looks nice, it's all very symmetrical, but then we have these designs on the each side of the edim signature to make sure that nobody could come and add any forged text before the signature of the edim. Okay, so we'll pick up weiter tomorrow, talking about erased stars and stars that were erased one time versus stars that were erased two times, and whether we could tell the difference between the two.